Nike Adeyemi is an authentic leader, a global speaker, a compassion and healing powerhouse. She is also known as the Real Woman. Nike shares God's love through her TV broadcast, Real Woman with Nike, viewed globally, and her podcast, Conversations with Nike. Her conferences and coaching services set women free to soar. Nike is the president of Real Woman International Atlanta, Georgia, and the founder of the Real Woman Foundation, which shelters and trains trafficked and abused ladies, as well as the Love Home Orphanage. She is the deputy senior pastor at Daystar Christian Center. Nike holds master's degrees in architecture and business administration from Obafemi Awolowo University, Nigeria, and Business Studies, Netherlands. She attended the Harvard Business School Executive Program and is a John Maxwell Certified Coach. She also holds a double doctorate, Doctor of Divinity and Doctor of Social Services and Faith-Based Initiative from the Heart Bible International University, USA. She is a recipient of the 2022 Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from the Heart Bible International University, USA. She is also a member of the International Advisory Board of Business School Netherlands and a faculty member of Daystar Leadership Academy. She and her husband, Sam Adeyemi, the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, are parents of three amazing young adults. Ladies and gentlemen, with a rousing ovation, please welcome Pastor Nike Adeyemi to the Excellence in Leadership Conference 2023.
What a beautiful morning, what a beautiful day it is here in Lagos, Nigeria. Can we take 30 seconds to just give the Lord a big shout of praise for the great, for the opportunity to be in this building, and for those watching us online from around the world, just savor this moment, savor these 2 days that will shift your minds, that will be life-changing for you. Stay open and know that something is really going to happen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Please, you may be seated. Just amazing. Just, we get to do this. We get to be alive. I mean, how many years of COVID and all of that? And we are just so grateful. Friends, enjoy your life. Enjoy every moment because you are here for a purpose. And very quickly, will you celebrate with me, the convener of this great meeting, my husband, Sam Adeyemi. Thank you for leading us well. And I'm also, we just heard him now, and I'm excited to listen to also the rest of our speakers. And we must move very quickly. Oh, wow, what a beautiful day. Let me look at my time. All right. So we've been talking about what? Mind shift. And it's all about leadership. That seems to be the buzzword now. Right? And what other buzzwords do we have? But that seems to be huge. At a time like this, we have other buzzwords like what? Serve breakfast. All those things. All those negative buzzwords will change when we can lead well, when we can be healed in our hearts. And I tell you, something is going to change here for you and in your minds. Well, very quickly, I want to appreciate we have some schools represented here because we wrote to secondary schools to come join us. It's about the future, it's about the youth, and I'm excited about that as a bridge, as someone who's a bridge between the young and the old. We have to welcome the young continually. You see, we may not be able to prepare the future for the young people, but we can prepare our young people for the future. Did you catch that? We may not be able to do anything about the future. The whole world is going crazy, and that is not anything new, because it says darkness will cover the heart and gross darkness the people, right? But it says you will what? Arise. So can our youths arise? Can we prepare them for an uncertain future? Rather than complaining about the future, where's Nigeria going, where's the world going, where are the wars and everything? The Bible says there will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. But how can we prepare our hearts to and be ready and to embrace and to navigate the future that is ahead of us? So we're grateful that we have Oregun High School here. There are neighbors, they're right there. Where are the students? Good, give a big wave. Stand up. Let's celebrate them. Wow, look at them. They are in school. This is school time, so they're in their uniform, okay? But we figured out, please be seated. We figured out that because this was 9 to 2 every day, they can get in here in time and still get back to school and the parents can still pick them, right? How cool is that? And for the teachers that came with them as well, that's even better because there has to be, you also have to have that mind shift to be able to accommodate them and lead them into the future. We also have the Air Force School, Ikeja. Cantonment from the barracks. Where are you? Stand up, wave your hands, the Air Force School. Ah, look at you. You are blue. And your teachers and your leaders, all you hear on these 2 days, let it affect you and take it to your colleagues that couldn't come, right? So that you can shine bright as our future. God bless you. Anybody else? Any other school represented? I think the rest are still coming. If there's any school I didn't mention, say, we are here. Oh, stand up and tell me, I don't know, what school is that? Thank you for coming. And you might say, why secondary schools? Why not? Because the future, the young are really our hope. And we must break the cultural barriers that exist between us. So the title of my, the subtitle I've given to my message or my word at this time is The Shift at the Well. The Shift at the Well. Now there's this story, and it's of course from a great and amazing book, the Bible. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. She came to the well. And we've acknowledged the leader of all leaders. I belong to the school of Christ. As a Christian, not just be a follower of Christ, but be a member of his school. Enroll in his school. Study how he walked, how he lived. He was literally the power of God, but he was also the wisdom of God. So this man, our great leader, Jesus Christ, he came to a well on a particular day. He was tired. And you can find that story in John chapter 4. He was tired and he sat by the well, and his disciples had gone for food. I don't want to go down that path because I often wonder why all of them went for food. Like all 12 of them. Like seriously? This man was very simple, and you must appreciate his humility and bring it into the present that he didn't even insist that one of them had to stay with him. Like, how can all of you go? What was the mentality? Anyone that stays, you are in trouble because work will continue. Right? Miracle, no, they tire Jesus. Aha. It's since that time. This man never gets tired. Work after work after work. So if you stay, you stay at your own peril. All 12 of them went to buy food for the 13 of them. But let's leave that aside. So he was left alone, and you know, he sat by this well, and then he saw this woman. This woman was from Samaria, a woman of Samaria. And he said, the woman said to him, how can you ask me to give you water to drink? He said to her, woman, give me water to drink. And she started her whole, you know, all her ramblings and all that. We know the rest of the story. And that's from, you know, from verse 7 all the way to the end. You'll see their conversation. She said, how can you ask me, you know? But he said, look, if you knew who was speaking to you, you will ask water from me. And what did she say? She said, you don't even have anything to draw with. So she noticed his hands. She noticed what he had, right? Or what he didn't have. That's not difficult, right? Sometimes it's just a quick scan, right? And someone looks at you from head to toe. The color of your hair, your shoes, brum, pum, pum, and they've made up their minds about you. That's an art. That's not. But the conversation continued. And he continued to talk about what he could give her in terms of water and all that. But she had her own, of course, her own ideology and all that. But somewhere along the line, when she said, okay, give me this water so I will not thirst again and come here to draw. And then that is when he now brought out his joker. He said, go and call your husband. This is not about husband or not, but that was what the hook that he used. For he was a prophet. He had seen through her, but he didn't have to come and say, This is Prophet Jesus here. Woman, I can see. You have five husbands. You've married five times. And that is not even the issue. The fact is, right now, the person you are living with is not your husband. You are just shacking up. Therefore, you will go to hell. How would that change her? How would that do anything? How would that break the cultural barriers? How would that heal anything? I believe that leaders are healers. It depends on what or what you want to heal. Some heal your finances. If you come near them and you listen to them enough, your finances will be healed. Some heal your emotions. Some heal various things. We shine our lights in different ways, and that's why you can't compare yourself to others. It's foolishness. Because your calling is not mine. Your race is not mine. What you are called to heal is not what I am called to heal. What you see and stands out glaringly to you is not what stands out glaringly to me. If you have an issue with my dressing, maybe you are supposed to be my what is it called? Image consultant or tailor or whatever. So rather than criticize, come close and say, hey, do you know I can do something about your packaging? Hello? Because you want to look, heal how I package myself. That is something worthy, and that is a work right there. Hello? And so he noticed that about her and he began to engage. But I like this story. It resonates so much with me because it's conversation. It's non-judgmental. It's breaking cultural barriers in a silent way. She said to him, how is it? When he came and said, give me water to drink. She said, how is it? Her first words are, how is it you being a Jew should ask me, a Samaritan? You should not even, see, we don't talk. Hello? We're not even supposed to be having this conversation. But he was a bridge builder. He was love, and he is love. And love finds creative ways to reach people. People that are not like you. People who also are human beings and need the love and need the empowerment and need the lifting from where they are. Hello? And it's a skill to learn. It's also something to ask for the grace to be able to. Because in this world, we will find ourselves in places where we are with people that don't maybe think like us or look like us. Hello? And this is happening. This is fast happening right now, even with the Jackpot syndrome. So that's free of charge for someone right there. Don't go there and have culture shock. But when we talk about cultural barriers, he overlooked that. He broke that protocol in order to heal her soul, in order to set her free. This woman was a leader. Leaders don't always look like, how do I put it? I think by now we know that the picture of a leader is not always this, you know, tall, huge-looking, stern-looking male or female. I know by now we know that, right? Because even there was the story of David and the story of how the next king was to be chosen from the house of Jesse. And Eliab, the oldest, was there. And even Samuel, the prophet, surely the Lord's, you know, the next is before. And the Lord said in his heart, I have rejected him. But he looked the part. But it turns out there was this forgotten person in the fields keeping sheep. Hello? He didn't look the part, but that was a chosen leader. So it's not about how you look, but it's about how you're the posture of your heart. And that's why we will be talking about heart issues. And that's where I believe that the crux is. Because, you know, it's a matter of the heart. And so he started this conversation with her. And she thought that this was one of those other men. Just one of them again. A man. You want to toast me? God, I'm gone beyond. Look. See, I've gone beyond all of that. And so she had an attitude, right? And she was going to cut him short and all of that. But he did not stop. He continued. He did not take offense because he had what? A mission. And if we're going to break the cultural barriers between us and the young people, we must be mission-minded. We must be love-minded. We must not be critical-minded. We must not be poised to, you know, cut them down, look down on them, because we will not be doing ourselves any good. We must find creative ways to reach them and to say, look, we're in different generations, but how can we bridge that gap? How can we have conversations that will bring us into their world so that they can learn from us and we can learn from them? Hello? I hope I'm still with you. So at this well, there was a shift. There was an exchange that happened. Sometimes what you think you get at your destination is not what you expect. She went there to draw water, ordinary water, but she found life at the end of the day. She found her calling, she found her purpose. After searching for it for so long, because she searched for it in men. Marriage is good, but how come her marriages kept failing? Hello? How come her marriages kept failing? You would almost quickly think that she was the problem, right? Because she was the common denominator in all these five marriages that did not work. So can she really blame it? Can she really say, it's men, it's men, it's men? Or is it her that has something that is not healed? Of course, something in each of those partners too, right? But five is a lot. Until she decided no more. And when she decided no more, she didn't even have the esteem to maybe stay single. Right? She still had a man. In the bed. In the house. The only thing now is that she felt she was wiser and there's no need to tie the knot. Hello? But how are we going? We're not bashing this person. A healing mentality when we from whatever perspective of what we do is the way to go for leaders. If you want to be the president of any country, you must be thinking, how do I heal my nation? If you want to be the head of any organization, you've got to think healing, because you are solving problems and there are human beings in there that you will interact with. This woman was a leader, but her potential was not, you know, had not come to light, to fruition. Her light was dim because she was in the wrong place and she needed to be set free. Tell your neighbor, be free. One thing about light, it will illuminate you. And we've talked about that a lot. I mean, the light of the world, I kept hammering on that all through this year. Light, one thing about light is it will expose. It would illuminate. It will not leave you the same. So leaders are light. People are light. How are you shining your light? So it crossed the barrier of culture to get her heart. When we are after people, we leave them better and not bitter. Many years ago, I found an ordinary meeting place. I could say this was like a well. It was a brothel that I chose to go into with intention, being deliberate to strike up a conversation with any of those girls. I was just hopeful that I could get into their world. And you asked me, what was my business? Well, I was concerned. And I just cared enough. And I was following my heart. So I get in there and I struck up conversation with a girl. Her name was Sandra. Don't worry, they never use their real names anyway. And I started a conversation with her. I was wondering, where would this lead? And, you know, I was just saying, I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for my sister. You know, just rambling and all that. Until I couldn't go any further. And then I, you know, declared my manifesto, you know. And I started a conversation. Hey, you're a fine girl. What are you doing here? And that was how she became my first, you know, literally convert in that place. She became my first, you know, friend, gave her heart to Jesus. And through her, I could reach her other friends. The rest is history, because that was the beginning of the Real Woman conferences and seminars out there. And then later on, the Real Woman Foundation. So for the conferences, yes, we share and then we have conversation, Q&A, asking questions. You know, letting them ask questions, answering, and there being interaction. So it's a two-way street, people, even for leadership. It's not talking at people. It's not talking down at people. We have a lot to learn also from people that are on the other side, whether it's between older and the younger, or whether it's between you and someone of another race, or even let's bring it down to Nigeria, another tribe. Okay, or we're talking global now, another race entirely. Hello? If you want to go and live in Australia, think about it. How do they think? What are their behaviors? We're not saying you should totally not be yourself again and stop being a Nigerian or stop being an American or whoever you are. But take the time to get into their world to find out how they operate. That is love. And that is breaking cultural barriers. And with that, we will be able to lead effectively. You can't lead people that you don't know. And that's why sometimes you have to take the pains to learn the language. Hello? To learn the language of where you want to go and live or whoever you want to deal with. So does it mean we have to learn the language of the youth? Yes. Someone's like, oh, you're already cringing. Because you're like, I can't even get over some of their slangs and abbreviations. It's not that deep. Just have a mindset of humility. Calm down a little bit. Hello? For a long time on social media, I think it was Instagram, I would see POV, POV. I didn't ask anybody. But one day it dawned on me one day that it meant point of view. Am I right? Just care enough. Don't say which one is POV. In our time, we did not. Excuse me, you can't go back. Smell the coffee. We're in a new era. We're in the future. It's evolving. Stop saying the good old days, the good old days. Hello? The best days are here. It's what we make of it. It's what we make of our world. Courage is what leaders are made of. And you see, because when we hear the word courage, we think, someone wants to go and climb Mount Everest and get there and say, I was courageous. Courage sometimes just means stepping out of your comfort zone. It just means going to talk to that unlikely person, though you think the person might snub you. But courage is just taking that step, and it works hand in hand with love. And so let's zero in on that woman by the well. She was a potential leader, but her insecurities were not helping at all. Until we heal our subconscious minds and we renew our minds and our innermost beings, we will not be able to lead effectively. We will not be able to lead maximally because there will always be a cap. For many of us, things have happened to us over the years. Words were spoken. Actions, certain things were done to us at a certain time, in one way, or even in many ways. And that sank into our innermost being, and we carry on with life like that. So we're in places of leadership, we're in places of authority, we're in places, you know, whether at home, whether in the family, whether at work, but there's this thing on the inside, and it's called a low self-esteem. It has to be healed. It has to be dealt with. And sometimes it's not just about chanting, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. And that is important because affirmations are good. But you have to be intentional about knowing that something happened that broke you. Your heart was broken one time, two times, three times. How many times? That little heart, it could have been when you were 5 years old. It could have been when you were 16 and now you are 40. Hello? We have to go there. Because if we don't go there, we will have that form of leadership. But there will be little power to back it up. There will be that form that, a new leader has come. But then we are dashed again. Because the person is still what? Human and unhealed. Until we go to that place and let healing happen, we will not be fully free. This woman was excited because she said, come see a man. She dropped her water pot and she went to town. Said, come see a man. This man has healed me, he's helped me. He really set me free. Different from the other men that I thought I could use to cover up, to placate the pain in my heart. Hello? And so talking even about marriage, if you're not healed, you bring that into a marriage and it will be a struggle. So get healing, get that restoration of your esteem. We look around, many leaders suffer from a poor self-esteem. What are the signs? Comparison, cutting people down. If you cut someone down, it doesn't mean that you're going to be taller. But many times these things are done unconsciously. They don't plan to do it. You don't plan to do it, right? Because I'm talking to leaders here. We are all leaders. But I believe that inner healing is the starting point. It is. To be healed is to be comfortable in your skin, to be comfortable in how God made you, to come to that point where you are whole, you are happy. On the inside, there is a joy. Right? And you know that it's not about what you wear and what you do not wear. You've got to put on clothes. It's packaging. You've got to be covered up. How you want to be covered up is different from how I want to be covered up. Hello? It's not about how your hair is, whether it's bone straight or natural. It's about you understanding that those things don't make you. Hello? And for sometimes it takes a journey. Now, if when you were growing up, you had words, your parents loved you enough to speak kind words to you, to build your esteem, to correct you in love. Because when you don't correct a child, you don't love that child. When you don't correct a child, you have esteem issues. Yes, you want that child to love you, like you, but that's in the short run. In the long run, the child will hate you. Because you didn't tell the child the truth. You eagerly wanted to be so liked. And that also is still coming from an unhealed place. Hello? And that's why we see our Master Jesus. There were times where he was, you know, soft, right? And there were times when he was hard. But it's still all what? Love. There were times he held a whip and went into his father's house and beat, turned the tables. I said, you have made this place a den of thieves. But it's a house of prayer. It's not what it should be. He didn't pass on by and say, what is my business? The world is your business. The earth is your business. He said, the earth he has given to the sons of men. He gave us the earth. He said, take care of it. Because he said to Adam, he said, have dominion on this earth. Right? And he gave the woman too. So we are included. He didn't say dominate her. He said dominate the birds of the air, the fields, the animals and all that. He didn't say dominate one another. He said together with that synergy and that cooperation do amazing things. Both genders are to work together. Hello? To bring flavor to the earth. Whether in a family, in a marriage situation, whether in an organizational situation, whether in a sibling situation in family, whether, you know, in any situation, whether in excellent leadership conference, hello, we have male and female. Not right? Let me say no more. For balance, and not just to be politically correct or whatever, but we truly believe that each one carries a flavor in how they are wired and in their journeys, in their experiences, in their revelations, and they will deliver what they know. I won't deliver what I don't know. Hello? And because I'm not sent to everyone, this message may not be for everyone. Maybe the speaker coming after me is the one that will do it for you. Boom. Like, strong one. Strong meat, slides and all of that. And that's good. I use slides too sometimes. But be open and less judgmental. Courage. Overlook what people say. Overlook the naysayers. Naysayers are doing their own assignment too. Do yours. Confidence in who you know, who you serve, who you belong to. People are more important than things because people have souls. Let healing begin from our heart. Let's look more closely. Let's look intently so that we can lead with love, with empathy, with conscience. And I know and I understand that we are all wired differently, right? Some people are more, how do I put it, more sensitive than other people. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need to be, you know, at table together, right? Not just the same kind of people, but someone there could be different and have a different voice. Hey, have we looked at it this way? And the rest should be like, ah, why do you even think that way? Because of how I'm wired. That's just it. And so we need our voices together to help us. No one has all the answers, and no leader should dominate another leader. Right? Because what you have, I may not have. And when we bring it together, we're able to confront the future together. One of the things I really love doing a lot is scenario playing. I used to do that a lot. And my husband knows that. I mean, even early into our marriage. And he said, why are you thinking negatively? Why? I don't think negatively. I think positively. I actually came from when I gave my heart to Jesus, I came from a fellowship that was big on faith and love. So I'm from that faith background. But sometimes I'm practical enough to think, what if this happens? Hello? What if this happens? And because of that what if, I prepare for that what if, but still hoping that it won't happen. So it's all good. It was very natural to me. Fast forward to many years after. My dear husband went to, get a PhD, a master's first and a PhD in strategic leadership, right? Sweetheart. And then he said they taught them something called scenario playing, that's what I've been doing since. I said, I didn't want to know what to call it, but I knew it was right. I knew it was right. But I didn't know what to call it, but I was already working in it. And so in our organizations, whether Daystar, whether Real Women, I mean, we represent various organizations that we sit at, but especially Daystar, even while preparing for ELC, I mean, you need to see us sometimes. It's a big, the management meeting is quite big. It's not just the pastors. We have head of HR, head of our account, and, you know, head of the music, you know, also join us. And we sometimes slog things out. You know, down to logo, down to what, you know, and all of that. And it's, we have to think that way as leaders. I just came back from my meeting. It's called the Breathe with Nikki Adeyemi. It's not a conference, it's a retreat. It's a 5-star retreat for women leaders, women in leadership, or women in general, to rest, refresh, you know their worth for 4 days and go back to their families or to their organizations or wherever they came back from, refreshed, changed. And though it may not look like they have a new handbag, but I always say your heart, your spirit, soul, and body will thank you for it. And those who have been part of it have really testified to that. But you know, it's amazing that we realize that if we don't have that worthiness or esteem, we'll keep thinking things are too big for us to enjoy. It's not about money, but it's about don't enslave yourself to work. How do I put it? Don't be a slave of all of that. Have the right balance to live long, to breathe, and to grow. And so a major part of it is, for the first day, it's coaching. I coach these women in an intimate way. Not too many for a start. This is just the second one that we had, and it's growing. But it's about coaching the coach, coaching the leaders. That's the phase I'm in now. I believe that's the phase my husband is in now. And I had to wrestle to come to that agreement and that understanding, because I struggled with it for such a long time. But I realized that Jesus coached the 3. He had 12, he coached the 3. He coached the 12. And then he had the masses, the 5,000 that he fed, right? He took the three to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was called Mount of Transfiguration because of what happened there. He said, come with me, you three. You are the kingpin. I must pour into you. Hello? What was he preparing for? For his exit, so that they would carry on the work. So I remember over the years, my husband said, you're a coach, you're a leader of leaders. Leave this, you know, I'm not leaving. Missionary, I will go. Costa Rica, I will go. I will go preach life. But what I realized God was wanting from me was that that's okay to continue to do that, but you must move to the level where you pour into leaders and they pour into others. Sometimes you can be so used to, you know. And it's not like I love crowd and stuff, but it's just very powerful to preach, to see lives changed. But also, how about taking their own leaders, pouring into them, and they can really preach and speak to their people. But this was the model I saw. Jesus ministered to the 5,000. He ministered to the crowd at large, right? But he also had the three. And he also had the 12. And he could also stop to talk to the woman with the issue of blood and heal her. Well, he didn't talk to her. She took her healing. But he could also stop and have conversation with one. Just leaving that audience of one, just that one. And look at what she became. Look at what she became. So these are various strata, these are various levels. But the thing is that, you know, I realized that during that time, and that was about, let me see, when I reached out to that brothel and that, you know, got into the world of brokenness in the family. Many of them came from broken homes. Looking for job opportunities, they found it easy to go into prostitution because they thought, hey, I've been raped by my uncle. I've been, well, I'm fine. I can do it for money. So those stories helped me to understand from the family angle how we must look out for our young, how we must have eyes on them, how as parents, aunties, some of us are not parents, but we're aunties. You know, some of us don't have children, but we're as motherly. We are even more motherly than those who have children. Do you know people like that around you? It's a grace. It's a calling. They call you out. What are you doing there? Don't you have homework? Meanwhile, they're not your mom. But they just have that grace. Let's have compassion for these young people. So important. They've seen all kinds. And as parents, don't be harsh on yourself if you haven't been able to do it all. It's a very daunting assignment we don't talk about enough. We're hardly well prepared. Many times we parent how we were parented, and we didn't know we had to get our healing and our esteem restored before bringing a new one into the world. Hello? But then we don't. We go on. We bring a new one, and then the cycle just continues. Hello? But this generation, if you notice, they are breaking the trauma. They are saying, Mom, don't talk to me like that. And we think that's rude. We're like, hey, in our own time. Hey, slipper. Wait. You know, there's this thing on social media, Nigerian moms. They even hardly talk about Nigerian fathers. Please, let Nigerian mothers breathe. Hello, help us. There's a lot of pressure on moms, on women, and there's a lot of pressure on men too. Don't cry, you're a man. Hold it in. But there's also a pressure on women too. Work, you know, provide yourself. You give your man sex. Do like this. Have straight hair. There's a lot of pressure. And we're transferring this pressure on our children. Hey, can't you see so and so? Do they have two heads? Your child came fifth. You say, hey, the person that came first, didn't he have it? Why do we even give positions? Mark the script, give them the rest, let them go home. 20 people in the head, the school people, are you hearing? Anyway, well, go and tell your principal. Why positions? 25 people in a class, fine, mark the results. But when the position is there, your parents go to, 23rd out of 25. You just say, at least I passed more than two people. I personally feel there shouldn't be position because that's comparison. Let the result be the result. If it's 23% you got, we already know that that's not good. But we don't need to know what did the others get. Because if the highest was 29, you'll not be like, Asha tried. 29, 23, you all failed. What really is the motive or the mentality? Because it's just the beginning. It's not even halftime yet. It's not even the end. And that sets us up and sets children up for comparison. Because in life, subconsciously, you get your result, but you want to know what the other one got. That is why even in Jesus' time, was it one of the disciples that asked, how will this one die or something like that? And Jesus said, what has that to do with you? Mind your own business. But we don't mind our business because if you are eight, you came eight out of 30. Who came first? Second, third, that's the person to beat. Why? Beat your own record. So if there are no positions, if you got 50%, tell yourself that next term, I'm going to get 60 or 65. I'm going to do what? Better. Teachers, are you listening? Heads of schools, can we have a mind shift about that? So we ease this trauma. From generation to generation, we can stop it somewhere. So it's about self-esteem. Many times the peer pressure is between the parents as well. We've transferred the peer pressure. And I've told myself, I'm not going to have pressure over anything. Zero pressure, nothing, I'm doing good. And I'll tell myself that and I can do better and I'll keep working better. I'm not looking at somebody else. So don't feel sorry for me. Tell your neighbor, don't feel sorry for me. And my mates are already grandmas. What has that got to do with me? Hello? Omugo. That's what to achieve like. I'm not belittling that. It's a beauty to be able to see the next generation and take care. My friend once said that, oh, Omugo, I'm not. No. You will take care of your child by yourself. Maybe 2 days. Don't judge anybody. Don't compare. Enjoy your life. Thank you, Jesus. Self-esteem is often confused with self-confidence. Self-confidence is a knowledge that you can succeed at anything. Career, relationship, whatever you've studied for, you've trained for. But self-esteem, on the other hand, is a capacity to like and love yourselves and feel worthwhile, irrespective of the ups and downs in life. So you can have self-confidence. You can teach. You can, you know how to fix things. You're an engineer. And that's fine, but you might have a poor self-esteem. Because you find it difficult to love yourself and feel worthwhile. If your father or your mother was always telling you growing up, that, look at this other children. Something, child. You keep thinking and feeling less than. And you can take that into adulthood, that even when you are doing well, acing your game, you are CEO, you are at the top, because you are brilliant and all of that. And, even the favor of God opens doors for you. But when you get there, you will still be feeling, because that voice that you are hearing, your dad, your mom, they might have been long gone, but you will still be hearing it echoing, that you are still not good enough. And so you have to be healed. And so this is what the master always came for, their hearts. If they can be healed, they will be better leaders. If they can be healed, they'll be better people. And I'm on that journey too. I'm still on that journey. It's not like I'm 100%. Hello. And that is why he said in Romans 12 too, he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing what of your mind, by the shifting of your mind. So it's not enough to say, I've given my heart to God, I've given my heart to Jesus, I've done it, but your mind, your heart, your subconscious, those things deep buried down, he paid the price of it, but you must do the work for your inner healing. You must, and you first have to admit that you need healing. Because life has dealt a hard blow on many of us. Even on people who are presidents today. They came from a home. They came from somewhere. How were they raised? How was this man raised? How was this woman raised? Maybe one was raised in such a way that the parents could not even talk to them. And today they are grown, they're in positions of power, so nobody can talk to them. Nobody can call them out. Nobody can, because It's always been there. And that's why we have to go back to the family. How we show up many times is because of our esteem. We have to go back to the family. And sometimes even the lack of a family. I'm someone that's privileged to have been able to raise or form create an orphanage, which still exists to the glory of God, the Love Home Orphanage in Magodo. To the glory of God. There's a lot that goes in there that my staff help out with. Trainings, you know, just the environment, giving the best that we can. Therapies sometimes, yes, for any of the children that need it, so that they can be something in life. Some of the girls and ladies that pass through the Real Woman Foundation shelter have gone on to even do amazing things. There's one that lives in Canada right now. She's married and had a child a few months ago. She knows herself, and she always says, hey, you can share my story anywhere. She's amazing, doing brilliantly. And many of them all over the place. I'm grateful. How do you want to show up? But I'm still working on myself. How do you build a positive self-esteem? I have just 1 minute. And I have about 12 points here, but I'm just going to share two, and that's it. For the rest, sign up for my coaching. Adopt a more positive attitude. Accept yourself for who you are. Love yourself for who you are. Not for the performance. Some of us felt our parents loved us. Because if you came first, you were loved. If you came fifth, you got the eye rolling. And so you got the message that you had to perform for acceptance. No. 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 It's not about that. You are loved. You're accepted in the beloved. There's one who accepted you ahead. So have a more positive attitude by accepting yourself. Then you'll be able to accept others. It doesn't mean you'll be a yes person to say yes to every idea. It means that when an idea comes up in a meeting or in the family, you don't just shoot it down. You are courteous enough to say, hey, okay, I hear you. And that's good. Thank you for that suggestion. But you see, I see it another way. And then you add yours. It's and, not but. You don't cancel someone to put your own on top. And many of us do that in meetings. We shut people down. Mister, say your own. Let others say their own. They're saying what they know. They're saying their truth. And before the meeting ends, they may change their own mind because you've come in a courteous way. Once, some years ago, I was chairing a management meeting some years ago, and my husband wasn't around. And that was many years ago. And we had the meeting, and I think it was before we started up. When we ended, I just said this question. I said, does everyone feel loved? They were looking at, like, hello. We have few female on our team. The men were like, and one of the pastors, you know, on the team, one of the heads of units there in the staff management team said, we all feel loved, we all feel loved. I'm like, hello, say yours. And because we're going to go around. If you feel loved, that in this organization, say, I feel loved, then drop yours because I'm going to go around. By the time we got to the sixth person, it was like tears. It was just literally. I mean, for a man to be in church, I said, like, well, I feel. And he said, it's true. And there were apologies said on that table that day. Oh, man, that was it. And I was out of here. That's just the way I'm wired. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I'm always loving people. Hello? When I'm hurt, sometimes the mean side comes out, but I'm like, Nikki, calm down, calm down. We all have the tendency to be mean. Hello? But you just have to be aware. I know when I'm being mean. I'm like, Nikki, this is not you. Right? Because sometimes you say, all this love, 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 I don't want to be a pushover. Hello? You talk to yourself. Be real. Be frank with yourself. Be honest. Have that conversation with yourself. So I'm talking to leaders because I think my passion is for leaders, especially women, but of course men too. Men too have gone through a lot. Men don't talk maybe enough about some of the things they went through. I think there are men who are abused by houseboys too. So we all need healing. Because when we are healed in our esteem, we can be better leaders. The second one I'll give you, surround yourself with people who lift you up and are positive. I know some of us have the pessimistic leaning, temperaments that are more judging, and that's part of our wiring. But we can make the effort if we are aware, if we are conscious of it, right? And then we can all lead together. In spite of all that is going on, and it's so sad, I don't want to go into all of that, we can make the world a better place by helping people to heal and not adding trauma to the trauma they already have. How will you show up in 2024? How will you impact this uncertain world? What have we seen in 2023? What do we know 2024 is going to present? More wars? I'm not a prophet of doom. But the thing is that if it goes more in that direction, what kind of person are you going to be? A fearful person that would hide? How are you going to show up? Show up healed. Show up as a solution provider. Show up to catch those who fall. Rather than denying the fact that there will be no war and everything will just be beautiful and, you know, we're not in heaven yet. Leaders, it's time to step up, including the young. God bless you. Lord, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice whose heart is broken, whose heart is bleeding. Leaders, young and old, too old and accomplished to acknowledge their pain and their shame. Let the cloak of shame be removed. Amen. Let the cloak of shame be removed. Amen. Be liberated. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Let it be a new day for as many as need this, Lord. Amen. Let them find healing because it flows from your veins, Lord. You paid the price for it all. But sometimes we've got to do the work to search and go to that place and search deep. So that the subconscious mind can be healed. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a voice of strength, a voice of hope. So your voice should not be dimmed. You're worthy. You're good. You deserve the good things of life. The earth he has given to you to dominate, to impact, and to enjoy, to spread his love to whatever sector that you are called to. Nothing is too mundane to call irrelevant. Please step up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. It's time to go beyond. It's time for healing. I pray for healing for everyone, even in our nation. From the president to the least person. Amen. Who says it doesn't need healing? That people have all the good things of life doesn't mean that there's a void somewhere. It doesn't mean. How were they brought up? What was the life? The struggle, the fight to get to the top. Dog eat dog. All of those things. May our compassion be released. Thank you. When thieves are caught and thrown in jail for embezzling money or whatever, and they go to jail. Jail is supposed to be a restorative, corrective place. Not a place where they come out harder, right? It's supposed to be a corrective place. But is it? So I'm not saying condone thieves, Hey, why did he steal? No. Let's be more compassionate and bring solutions that truly heal and move us forward. Friends, it's a new day because we cannot pour new wine in old wineskin. Are you ready to change and be the new skin? That you may contain what the Lord is doing in the earth in the days, weeks, and years to come. And so shall it be. In Jesus' name, amen.